Thank you, choir. It is all about Jesus being worthy. Isn't it powerful, that short little snippet from Genesis? The first day. The first day when God created light to separate the darkness, to push the darkness aside. Because when the world was formless and void, and void is kind of what we've learned about outer space, a vacuum, there was not even light until God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And there was a need to separate light from darkness. And that has run down through history. We know God created the light in the beginning, all of the light that we have, all of the light of the heavens, all of the light here on earth. And somehow the people of God were agonizing before the arrival of Christ and saying kind of, when is God going to turn on the light again? When is light, is his light going to shine on us again? When are we going to feel close to God? When are we going to stop stumbling around in the darkness of life? The prophecies that we heard about in Advent came from like Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the deep darkness, on them has the light shined. This was a promise. And yet they had to wait several hundred years until that star appeared and announced the coming of the Christ. Advent, the prophecy foretold, and the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh in Christ Jesus, the prophecy fulfilled. He who was in the beginning with God, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that enlightens every man and woman and child was coming into the world. But my favorite verse, my favorite phrase, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God, that's true to this day. The light still shines in the darkness, and I believe the darkness will never overcome it. The wise men believe that. But when we look at the darkness in the world around us, the little dark areas and the big dark areas, we can still ask, has God turned on the light yet for this situation or that situation? For this that's going on in my life right now? He gave us a gift. You see, when Jesus was baptized, he really stepped out of the shadows of ordinary everyday life into the light. He became visible. He became prominent. He had to find a public way to begin his ministry, and he did that by submitting himself to baptism so he could proclaim to the world, the one who was foretelling the light that comes into the world, I'm here now. He stepped out of the shadows of obscurity. You know, don't we sometimes in our everyday, ordinary life feel like we're just back in the shadow somewhere? Nobody really notices us. Nobody really pays that much attention to us in the world. And then he did something special. He came out and he told us, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What happens to us when we try to walk in darkness? Huh? What happens? Well, we stumble around. You know, Jane says, we started sleeping in separate bedrooms because of my sleep disorder. And I sleep with the shades up. And one reason is you don't stumble around and hit as many things when it's not total darkness. And I usually wake up by the time the sun's out anyway, so, you know, why have the shades now? Jane just couldn't go to sleep that way if she was on the tallest building in the world, because she thinks somebody will see you. And I do try to check out. Well, let's see. Could anybody see me? I wonder if the people way up on the hill during the winter time, if they really cared, could see in that window. And that doesn't bother me too much. But, you know, in the morning as it's getting lighter, and I have those lapses when you roll over and you notice it, there's light. But, you know, I don't stub my toe near as much as I used to stumbling around in the darkness. That when we're in the darkness, we bump into a lot of things. And a lot of times we can get hurt. This gift that was shared with us, Paul tells us to let the light shine out of darkness. The God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That light was given to be inside, within us, to push back our own darkness. I remember the first time Lisa, my daughter, entered a talent show and sang. She was 8 years old and she won the talent show. Back then, and you know, I never heard of her doing another song, but Debbie Boone, Pat Boone's daughter, sang a song, You Light Up My Life. Well, our choir director and pianist at Person Street was a beauty queen, and she was really a southern lady. And Lisa just thought she was the most amazing thing in the world. So when she sang that song, she sang, You Light Up My Life. You know, like a good old southern girl. And my sister taped that when she went to the next level of competition and came in second. And a couple of years ago, she found that tape and played it for us all. Here's this little girl. You light up my life. You know, those people, you know, it's a right nice night tonight in the light. What a fright. That's the way the child sang. But she won. And that was a beginning for her. And you've noticed she doesn't talk that way or sing that way anymore, those of you who have heard her. But, you know, that's a powerful song. It's a song we ought to sing about Jesus. You light up my life. Because that's what Paul said the promise is. He shined in the darkness. God gave him to us to light up our lives. Has God turned on that light in you? You know, back in the book of Acts, from the scripture that Peter read this morning, that light was turned on in 12 people in Ephesus who had the baptism of John. And when Paul baptized them with water and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they received the Holy Spirit. They received the light of God into their lives. And they started speaking in tongues and prophesying and just blowing everybody's mind. Because the light now was inside. It wasn't out. Side of them. And yet, as we were studying a few weeks ago in our Bible study on Wednesday night, Jesus pronounced on us who say we believe in him and are his disciples, he says, you are the light of the world. Not try to be the light of the world, not work to be the light of the world, think about becoming the light of the world. But if you're mine and I'm in you, you are light. You are the light of the world. And if you're the light of the world, you do not put a lamp on a lampstand or under a bucket, but you put it where it gives out the light. Has God turned on the light in you yet? Remember the cartoons? Maybe it's just old cartoons, and I'm getting so old, maybe they don't do that anymore. But cartoons where you see this light bulb go off next to a character, they got it. They still do that in cartoons? I don't know. I don't read a lot of cartoons. In the Orient, when a disciple studied, he studied to receive enlightenment. And he was begging for enlightenment. And when the master thought he was ready, he would have the disciple come and kneel before him and give him enlightenment by taking his hands and going wham on his ears. I don't think that would feel very good. I'm glad God didn't use a means to give us light that way. He says the light shines in our hearts. Or maybe if you're a St. Paul, that light is so bright it strikes you in the face and drops you off your horse to your knees to experience Jesus as the light of the world. Has God turned on that light in you yet? But you see, that light's also a mission. For so the Lord, St. Paul said, has commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to be a light, to take it out to the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. Everybody, to bring salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth. In 433 AD, Easter happened to fall on the same eve. Easter Eve fell on the same eve as the ancient ritual on the Hill of Tara in Ireland. The Hill of Tara was a place that 142 Celtic kings had ruled. An impressive place, about 24 miles from the Irish coast. And on this mound, surrounded by deep cuts in the earth, moats almost, but with no water, on these mounds, the kings ruled in their highest places. On this mound was the Leith Ail, the stone of destiny that marked who the king of the land would be. On this mound, the Druids performed their ancient rites. And on that night, it was a custom that every light and fire in Ireland was extinguished until the king lit the holy fire on the Hill of Tara. And the penalty for lighting a light was death until after the king lit the ceremonial fire. Well, 12 miles to the south was the Hill of Slane. And Patrick and his team of missionaries had gathered on that hill. And before the Druid ceremonies could be completed, he lit an Easter fire, a Paschal fire, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And boy, was he in trouble. The king set out his chariots. The king set out his soldiers. He was just 12 miles away across the valley on the hill opposing Tara. And they crossed the river and they rushed towards these idiots who had dared to defy the king, to kill them and to exact justice. And the legend says an earthquake occurred and swallowed up the chariots. And somehow Patrick was saved. But that wasn't good enough for Patrick. He had lit the fire of the resurrection, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went to the Hill of Tara and challenged the Druid priest. And the story says that in their battle, where the Druids use their magical powers to show how powerful they were. Reminds you a little bit of Egypt and Moses and the battle there. And they went back and forth, and at the end, Patrick points out his hand and lifts up the chief priest of the Druids into the air and drops him, and he falls and is killed. And he preached his first sermon to the Celtic king, who then gave him permission to share the Christian faith. That day, he reached down and picked up a clover and talked about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Patrick accepted the mission of light and became a child of light. Has God turned on that light in you? That's our mission. And if we don't listen to the mission, there's a judgment about light. We're told in these words from the Gospel of John, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." Recently, I was dealing with a person in counseling who had some really dark things in their lives. A lot of people that come to counseling deal with inner darkness, feel unworthy, feel almost like they're possessed. They're aware of darkness within them, and they have a hard time believing there are people and a God who can love their darkness. And I shared with this person that in the darkest, vilest person is the light of God. Maybe it's just a little flicker, but God placed that life there, and God loves that light there. And that no person is so dark and so ugly and so vile that they cannot receive the light of Christ into their lives. And this person had a hard time believing that, but they said, "That is so beautiful." And I said, "But the only way to be free of the darkness is to embrace it. We have to embrace the darkness to overcome it with light. We have to admit the darkness is in us if it's going to be overcome with the light of Christ. We cannot hide in the darkness and deny the darkness that lives within us. Our Lord is calling us to the light. Have you embraced the darkness that lives in you? Has God shown His light there in your life?" That's His invitation today. Phyllis reminded me that the tune of our hymn to follow is not the tune we know, but she knows that tune. So we'll use the words on page number 585 to sing the little children's song. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Are you going to let it shine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Will you sing this as our prayer?